Diary, July 1898. July 1st to 31st, 1898. This was a very busy day. I was trying to complete important writing. I awakened this morning grateful to our Heavenly Father for His great goodness to me. I am so unworthy. Elder Haskell left Thursday evening for Stanmore to return Monday evening. My heart is full of many thoughts, and the riches of the truth press me for utterance. I spoke and read appropriate article for the church Sabbath afternoon. Tuesday morning, Willie White, his twin boys, and their grandmother rode, unfinished. I was able to sleep until 1:30 a.m. I had much freedom in writing upon the parables. Willie White, his twin babies, James Henry and Herbert, and I rode to Morisset to bring home feed for the horses and cows. I slept last night until 11:30 p.m., for which I am thankful to my Heavenly Father. But there were some things on my mind, and I could not be relieved until I traced them upon paper. The parable of the householder. I wrote with earnestness until breakfast time. I was making preparations to leave to attend meetings Sabbath and Sunday in Stanmore. I left the articles in the hands of Maggie and Minnie to be copied and sent to me. We rode down to Morisset Station, Sarah and I. We stepped into the second-class compartment. I had a bed made for me. There was only one other lady in the compartment, and I slept nearly the whole journey. No one was at Strathfield or at Petersham to meet us, but Sarah managed the matter nicely. We were just in time to change cars for Petersham. We found we must figure for ourselves. Sarah went for a hackman while the officials removed our trunks and parcels down the steps of the railway crossing. We went to Brother Baker's to find Elder Starr. He had moved. We had some little difficulty to locate him. He had moved partially, but the room I had fitted up was to be my room still, for the home must be repaired before we should move into it. Both houses here are occupied by some members of the family. Stanmore, Sydney. I slept until 4:10. Oh, I am so very thankful for sleep. I learn that there is a decision to have a conference meeting for 1 week to commence in 2 weeks from this last Sabbath and Sunday. I shall attend the meeting if the Lord will bless me with health. Sunday night had a large audience, composed largely of those not of our faith. W.C. White addressed the church in Ashfield at the same time. Elder Starr assisted me, opening the meeting by prayer and helping in the singing exercises. The Lord gave great freedom to me in addressing the people. They seemed to listen with intense interest. It is not my practice to speak evenings because I feel so intensely the realities of the needs of the people. I carry a burden of their care upon my soul and cannot sleep. I retired about 10:00 and could not sleep directly, but thought of the careless attitude of the unbelievers in our world, and longed to reach them and face them about, to behold the one who is the way, the truth, and the light. Stanmore, Sydney. I feel very thankful that the Lord has given me rest in sleep the past night. I addressed a large audience last evening. There were about 300 present. The Lord gave me great freedom in speaking to the people, largely composed of those not of our faith. I spoke from Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. Some things passed before me during the night season. I was where I saw many goods packed upon a platform, and these goods belonged to many persons. I said, "These are strange times. There seems to be a transfer of goods." The answer came, "Yes, the Lord stirs up the nest of His people and sendeth them forth to do His work. Removing them from one place, He places them in another place where the people need the help which they can give them." Elder Haskell said, "I know not whither I shall go or where I shall remain. I think I will go to America." One stood before Elder Haskell. He said, "Your work is in this country for the present. When you are called to another place, you will understand his voice. Do not entangle your mind in business perplexities. There is a higher, grander work for you to do. Open the treasure house of the Word of God to the hungry, starving sheep, dwelling not on subjects they cannot comprehend, but on the simplicity of the truth as it is in Jesus. Tell them what they shall do to be saved. You have the light. You can let it shine forth in the large gatherings assembled. You let it shine forth to the students in the school in Avondale and in the church in Kurrenbong. You have had a precious banquet to set before them, which has been rich feast, if they will partake of it and digest it.
Choose your own field of labor, but place the burden of your work more fully upon young men, whom you can help and who can help you. The Lord will make your mind fruitful. He can and will bless you in your labors in Australia, and when he calls you to America, you will know it. America is not ready for you yet. Neither are you, my brother, ready for America. There is to be a change in your mind and the tenor of your thoughts. You need the transforming grace of God in your own heart. Then you will not see things in a perverted light, and you will not draw apart from your brethren. This will make you weak and discourage you because your conclusions are not correct. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales. I am very glad to sleep in my own room, where I can have abundance of air and my own good bed. I did not get to rest and sleep until about 11 p.m. We had very good accommodations in the ladies' second-class compartment. We found our carriage awaiting us at Dora Creek. We were beyond time about 20 minutes. Brother James assisted us to get the baggage down the long stairs from the station platform. W.C. White remained over to accomplish some business. We'll be here Wednesday evening. We are pleased to get home. In the night season, while at Stanmore, I was greatly burdened in regard to my work. I need W.C. White to connect with me, but he carries so many burdens of the school and can do so little, because the leaven of criticism has been introduced so continuously and untruthfully that Brother Hughes has become leavened, and matters that W.C. White may introduce have been regarded by him as something he must stand against. Sister Haskell and Brother Haskell are responsible for this, and this work has pleased the devil well. W.C. White had better withdraw from the board. Brother Hare takes the responsibility on himself of opposing every measure that he has not originated. He stands as a stubborn wall, not to sanction the very things he should sanction. He is not quick of discernment. He has his own way, and he hurts and hinders the work. The Lord hath said, "Remove him, and not have the spirit which he cherishes to mar the work." He is not right with God. He criticizes and measures everyone he comes in contact with, because he thinks he sees imperfections in them. He does not understand that he is to be kind and courteous and never mingle his own harsh spirit with the work. The students must not have his example to leaven them. He does not know what manner of spirit he is of. God will not excuse those who will allow such influences before the students. Men in connection with the students must not show a masterful, ordering, dictatorial spirit. Such are not yoked up with Christ. Brother Hare has qualifications as a businessman, but for him to be an overseer over others places men who possess ability and intelligence in a position of humiliation as underlings. Thus, his position on the board is to rebut everything that does not strike his mind favorably. The Lord will not accept such men to devise and plan on boards or in council meetings. Everything in connection with the school must be of a different order. The Spirit of Christ must be manifested. W.C. White cannot do anything on the board. I have had matters laid open before me, and I testify that the Lord is not glorified by the spirit manifested. The spirit of criticism and of objecting to everything that W.C. White may introduce had its origin in the words and criticizing of Sister Haskell and Brother Haskell. W.C. White tells me not a word, but I know. The Lord has presented the matter before me, and as things are, there would be a better state of things without any board. They would suit Brother and Sister Haskell. They too should be all sufficient for any management in the institution. But the Lord is not of this mind. His mind is that there should be counseling together and perfect blending of minds. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. In the morning, W.C. White, the twins, and I rode to Morisset. Goods had come, feed for horses and cows. The sun shone very bright. We had a pleasant opportunity for conversation. When we arrived at home, Elder Haskell had been to dinner and just gone. It is a very busy day preparing our letters for the mail. The letters must be ready at 9 o'clock Friday morning. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I am not well. I feel that I must have rest. Rode down to post office. Took the twin children with us. They enjoyed the ride very much. We rode some little time on a new road, but it was rough. We returned home. I felt some better, but I need rest to my wearied head. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. Did not attend meeting, was not well. Elder Haskell preached an excellent discourse on the 10 virgins. Brother Martin from Kellyville was with us for breakfast. I was not able to sit up much of the day. Took my dinner in my room. Brother Martin and his son, about 15 years old, took dinner with us. Sunnyside, Kurenbong.
I consented to speak at Door Creek Sunday afternoon. Brother Martin was with us at breakfast. We had a most beautiful rainbow spanning the heavens in the morning. It was very brilliant and reached from one part of the heavens to the other. What a beautiful appearance! I think it was one of the most beautiful symbols spanning the heavens. It rained so very abundantly. No one thought it advisable for any of us to go to Dora Creek. It rained all day. Monday morning it was very cold. Elder Haskell and W.C. White went to Newcastle. They took the train due at Morisset at 12 o'clock. We arrived in time for the cars. It was a very beautiful day. Wednesday morning, I went with my horse and carriage for Elder Haskell at Dora Creek to meet the train from Newcastle. It was quite cool when I left home, but it soon grew warmer. I read to Elder Haskell some things from my writings in regard to nature and the God of nature. We decided to take the evening train Wednesday, but there was too much to be done to get off satisfactorily. Sarah is not well, so we remained over until Thursday evening. Willie and Sarah and I had a compartment to ourselves. Sarah and I slept. Willie did not have very good accommodations. We were much favored. Arrangements had been made to have evening trains leaving the same platform we came in at. This was an accommodation to us, saving one change. Stanmore, Sydney. Friday morning. Slept well after getting to bed at about 11 o'clock. Attended meeting at 9 o'clock and presented to the people some reasons why we should exercise faith in the promises of God. Stanmore, Sydney. Saturday morning, July 23rd, I spoke in the Lord's house, the new church. The Lord gave me much freedom in presenting the truth to the people as to what constituted health reform. Stanmore, Sydney. In early morning, met committee for advice in regard to who should be president of our conference. Elder Baker has been serving as president since Elder Israel left Australia for America, but now his father and mother are very much feebler than they have been. He is an only son, and they are calling for him to come to them and make them a visit. The father is failing, and he thinks it his duty to heed their call. Shall he go? Was the question to be settled. Shall we hold him here, under the circumstances? All this was news to me. I could answer, "Elder Baker is a worthy man, one to be trusted. He is reliable, and we feel it is a loss to Australia to consent to his going. But he is a man who does not move impulsively. He would not leave the work here for any other reason than to see his parents before they shall die." And I said to the committee, "Do not make any effort to restrain Brother Baker. Let him go, and your prayers and blessings go with him." There was early morning meeting at 6:30. I dared not attend it because I must speak in the afternoon. I spoke to the people in the afternoon in regard to the education of the youth, and many who are older people need education. Fathers and mothers need to enter the school of Christ and learn lessons of Christ, receiving grace of Christ to properly treat their children. I had freedom in speaking, and all listened with attention. I related why we located our school in Kurrenbong, in the woods. It was to get the students away from the cities, which are becoming as wicked as the inhabitants of the world before the flood, eating and drinking and dressing and gambling, selling their reason for a glass of liquor. Games of all kinds have become a passion, as before the flood, playing to obtain supremacy in inferior matters, while Satan was playing the game of life for their souls. They did not have a thought of their peril or any concern for their eternal interest. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall be revealed. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the flood came and took them all away. Thus shall it be when the Son of Man shall be revealed. The inhabitants of the world today are eating and drinking and know not the day of God is hasting upon them. Stanmore, Sydney. At early morning meeting met the physicians of the sanitarium from Summer Hill, Brethren Caro, Brand, and Simmons, and W.C. White and Elder Starr. The consideration was in regard to the meat question. Shall the sanitarium maintain the principles of non-meat eating for the patients who have not been instructed in vegetarian diet? The question was, would it not be well to let them have meat at first, educate them away from the appetite by lectures, and then bring them where they will be instructed by the lectures on the evil of meat eating? I replied that to condemn meat eating and show its injurious effects, and then bring the injurious article and give it to the patients and prescribe it for some of the patients, as some had thought best to do, was a denial of their principles and would not be in accordance with the teachings of our people on this question of health reform. We felt that there must be no drawing back on this question. Cattle are suffering under the curse of a variety of diseases, and meat eating has become a dangerous business. Cattle are suffering with tuberculosis and cancer and a variety of diseases, for the curse of God is upon man and beast because of the transgression of his law. I spoke to those assembled at the meeting at 9:00, and I occupied the time until the commencement of the conference meeting, reading and speaking to the people. The time was fully occupied in counseling with my brethren in regard to the conference matters. We are to be sure that we commence the work in right lines. No tea, no coffee, avoid drugs. We are to take our position firmly in regard to the light given us, that the consumption of the dead flesh of animals is counterworking the restoring of the sick to health. It is not a safe and wholesome diet. Lectures in the parlor will present the right principles and instruct the patients that we have a non-meat diet. We will not tempt them with animal flesh, because the flesh of dead animals is not healthful, but the cause of many diseases. And having established a sanitarium, we do not present that which we know to produce the very afflictions many of them are suffering under and for which they come to the sanitarium to receive treatment. However great the goodness of God and however abundant His promises to any people, continued transgression of the laws of God in our nature brings disease. Therefore, we cannot present meat before the patients. Stanmore, Sydney. There was an early morning meeting which I did not attend. Elder Haskell and wife came to converse with me in regard to movements made for him to be president of the New South Wales Conference. This will take his interest somewhat from the school, but it is of importance that the school should have most of their labors until it closes. Attended morning meeting at 9:00 and read important matter in regard to proper diet and meat eating. Stanmore, Sydney. I slept quite well until 2:30, then dressed and commenced writing. Attended early morning meeting. I spoke a short time upon faith. We had an excellent social meeting. I tried to impress upon all to consider the good meeting we had been privileged to attend at Stanmore, and all now to feel they had something to do to impart to others of the good things they have received. If they desire to continue to receive grace for grace, they must impart the grace they have received. Hunt for souls with your own heart all aglow with the love of God. Tell them of your love, talk of truth, of righteousness, and of sanctification. There is joy in Jesus Christ, there is blessedness here below, and the love of Jesus, the favor of God, is its fountainhead. His image restored in man represents light, increased light, a growing holiness. God is our fountain of supplies, and His blessings are the rills that flow from the inexhaustible fountain. Each receives this rich grace of God, receiving and letting it flow on to others. Tell others of the light received here at this meeting. Tell them you have surrendered your souls to God to be guided by His Word, that you have evidence how good it is to have Christ as your portion forever. The lamp for your path is provided for you to keep trimmed, as the light and life of all men keeps it burning by the same hand which lit it. And now we take a hurried breakfast and go to Redfern Station, for then we shall not be compelled to cross the track by going up and down stairs. Brother Baker kindly took me with his horse and carriage to the station, where we met Brother and Sister Haskell and Brother Starr. Sister Haskell, Sarah, and I occupied one compartment to Dora Creek. A carriage was waiting for us. Sister Haskell rode up with us and took dinner with us. We were glad to return home again. The Lord is good. Praise His holy name. We need His watch care and presence in our going out and our coming in.
One thing is deeply imprinted upon my mind, that all criticism and picking flaws is the devil's weapon to sever the golden links of the chain that binds heart to heart and soul to soul. No companionship can make us blessed in the future world that is not founded upon mutual love to God and our neighbor. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. It is quite warm. Sister Haskell decided to return to Stanmore, and herself and husband get some knowledge of the work Brother Baker is leaving. I rode down with Sisters Haskell and Peck to the station. I have written several pages this morning. I was awakened in the early morning hours with the words to ministers and to people. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. A telegram was received last evening that Brother Morse, Brother Beattie, Sister Morse, and some others would be at Dora Creek Station on the morning train from Sydney. I took the Surrey and drove my span of horses to Dora Creek. Sarah drove Jessie in the platform wagon. Met Mrs. Douglas and her son and invited her to ride. She seemed pleased and thanked me very heartily. We waited about 20 minutes for the cars and then found only one extra passenger accompanying Willie. Brother Morse took dinner with us. We have no third meal. We find it best for all concerned to have only two meals per day. Then the one who does the cooking knows after the dinner she has no more meals to worry over. We had a very precious season of prayer. The Lord Jesus was in our midst, and the subduing influence of the Spirit of God was felt upon our hearts. Oh, how my heart yearns for more and more of the Spirit of God! I am hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Surely the feast of God's love is of greatest value to me. Not to come to our Lord Jesus is contempt of our highest good. To doubt whether He will receive us and give us the rich grace of pardon is showing contempt for God. Blessings, rich, full, and free, are proffered to all. To receive them honors the giver. To remain indifferent and not appreciate the wonderful riches provided is contempt of God. The Lord Jesus has the table provided to meet the necessities of every case, and He would enlist in His service the noblest capabilities and capacities. He wants the whole being to be worked by the Holy Spirit, and this can be done when the invitation is accepted to come to the gospel feast. You all want your hearts alive to the great and important message, "Come, for all things are now ready." Luke 14, verse 17. One soul who refuses the invitation will be guilty, through his talent of influence, of keeping away many souls. Keeping away from Jesus is refusing the invitation, "Come, for all things are now ready." Take your family with you, take your relatives with you, draw with Christ. Refuse, and your spiritual necessities are not met. Nothing will meet your necessities but to eat of the bread of life. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. Sabbath morning, I awoke in the early hours, and while all are sleeping, I write in my diary. These words seem spoken to me with power. In a most earnest manner, I was addressing those who are bearing responsibilities as editors and contributors to our papers and periodicals. The Spirit of the Lord gave me a message for them. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. Sunday morning, I found we had at our table three of our brethren, Brother Morse and son, and Brother Caro. All slept in one bed. Had we known they would be here, we would have provided better accommodations. They, that is, Caro and son of Brother Morse, came up from Dora Creek on the boat and came in very late, so all three agreed to occupy a very wide bed. They were late at prayers but were with us at breakfast. After breakfast, we had important conversation with Dr. Caro in reference to the medical missionary work to be established in Sydney and as to the advisability of establishing an infant's orphan home in Sydney. He was quite sure that he could obtain outside assistance to help in such an enterprise, and I feel that all that can be done should be done for suffering humanity. The great need of a place to be prepared to help fallen women seems to be an urgent necessity, but the want of means is the great barrier to doing that work that should be done. I had several talks with our brethren upon the advisability of doing work in various lines, and I am sure the Lord will help us and give us His grace and His wisdom if we sincerely ask Him. We need wisdom at every step. Brethren Morse, son, and Dr. Caro dined with us. There is a necessity for Maggie Hare to leave us to visit her home in Keio, New Zealand. She has not seen the family for 6 years, and there is a necessity now for her to make this visit. This hurried movement brings more or less responsibilities and care. She left us for the station at Dora Creek to take the evening train.